Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How much do those developmental milestones matter? Is getting a C in chemistry going to keep your young scholar out of her dream college? From high expectation playdates to AP exams, NPR is taking a look at how to raise a human. You can find stories and features and podcasts about what those parenting books might not tell you. Visit npr.org/how-to-raise-a-human. And we're bringing those conversations home to South Dakota this month as we talk about different topics on how to raise a human. Today, we look at the perils of pushing too hard. Our guest is Larry Ling. He's a clinical social worker with Avera Health, and he joins us on the phone now from Sioux Falls. Larry, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with whether or not in South Dakota, I mean, so many times as a parent, you read, these stories about, signing your kid up for a preschool before they're even born. And maybe that just doesn't play in South Dakota the same way. So my first question is, do we see, anxiety and struggles from kids from just high expectations and pushing too hard? Is it a problem here?
Yes, it is. It is definitely a problem here. And in our clinic, we have a number of therapists here. And actually, we've been talking about it recently at staff meetings that the increase on our caseloads of high schoolers who are stressed out has increased.
Yeah. I have a high schooler who has finished, four AP exams this year. She's got six classes, AP classes next year. And I sit and pause and how is that even possible? Are you seeing a lot of these kids who are they high achievers and then they just sort of, crash, from a mental health standpoint, and they really need extra support? Or are you seeing kids who just are not on that path and feel left behind? Or you see all of that?
No, I think it's more what you said first. There's a number of educational pressures, and I do think that the majority of it is self-imposed, meaning the kids want to be high achievers. And at the same time, it's almost been built into our school system now that if you don't take AP classes, then somehow you're not going to get into college.
Right.
And, I mean, that's not true. And so a lot of these kids may be pushed into taking or feel they have to take these AP classes, and they can't manage them. And then they get anxious. I'm not going to get into college, I'm fail these classes. And they get overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then, how do I get out of this? Once
right.
you're
exactly.
in those AP classes.
Yeah.
I mean, as a parent, because I've been through this twice, AP classes give you a step up, if you decide to go to college. But they're not a must, because really you're just getting a jump up on some of the college credits that you would be getting if you just started fresh.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure for the AP stuff. I think there's pressure to be involved in, activity groups, volunteer groups, have all these things on, your sort of your resume when you go to college so that you can get in. And my experience with all that is that that's only partly what colleges are looking for.
Right.
And
right.
these kids just really feel a lot of pressure.
Mm.
What I'm seeing is it's a trickle down. I think a lot of kids, when they get to their freshman year in college, they don't really know what they want to do.
Sure.
I mean, they're still trying to figure that out. And I have kids coming in here that are freshmen in high school and already feel like they're being pressured to think about college.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
These are little teenagers, who are just now transitioning from middle school to high school, which is a big deal. And all of a sudden, you got to think about, do you want to take AP classes? Do you want to get an honor certificate? And all these kids are like, well, I just kind of want to go to school.
Just hoping to make some friends here.
Yeah.
Right.
So when they're in here, I'm like, you really don't have to decide this when you're a freshman.
Yeah.
And, you got time. And be a kid. Enjoy high school. If you want to take these other classes down the road, go ahead.
Yeah.
My advice to parents in here is freshmen should not be taking any sort of advanced classes.
Really? Yeah.
They just need to go to school for a year, get used to high school, then if you want to take your AP stuff and get going, you know, maybe the second year.
All right. I'm going to push back because when my little one went to, as a freshman, you know, she wanted to take chemistry. And I said, no, you know, take biology. You don't need that accelerated chemistry. Just take your time. Told her that. And you know what? All the other smarticle kids did that. They took accelerated chemistry. She's like, I'm behind. And so there is a sense that the parents might say this and they might tell their children. And the kids pick up this message by the time they're graduating that, you know what, mom, dad, it's different now. It's not like when I was in school. It's and they start feeling like, you know, you might not understand how to get where I need to go because it's all changed. That shifts the influence to the schools in a lot of ways and puts a lot of responsibility on the teachers.
It does. And not all kids who feel pressured to take the advanced classes intellectually and study-wise can manage them.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it really is a step up. I saw, you know, my daughter and my son take those classes, and, you know, they're both, you know, smart kids.
Right.
And, I mean, it was a struggle. Those classes are a step up. And I just think as freshmen to put that kind of pressure on people, kids at that age, when you can take those classes later.
Yeah.
You know.
There are consequences.
And I know,
consequences.
Once you get to college, I don't think kids are sitting comparing and saying, you know, how many AP classes did you take in high school? When you're in college, you're in college.
Right.
Somehow you got there, you know?
It seems like every student is going to have a point where it's like a year where it becomes hard. And I'm thinking about like gifted kids, high achievers, who maybe some things have come more easily. They're going to get to the point, whether it's in high school, an advanced class, or in college, where all of a sudden they have to study. And you can have some really smart kids who haven't developed that growth mindset yet, and that could cause a lot of anxiety and depression as well. And they might be in college by then.
Yes, absolutely.
So, what's the first thing you say when kids come in and say, like, okay, I'm under all this pressure, I feel like I have to do this, this, and this. How do I get out of this? Where do you begin with them in a counseling room?
I try to first get a sense of what the kids' priorities are, and then try to kind of compare that with what they think their parents' priorities are. Sometimes they're not the same, and what I try to encourage both the student and the parents to do is say, okay, what can give? I mean, is there something that can be let go right now that isn't going to have some major impact, you know, on their ability to get into college, if that's what you're concerned about? So maybe they give up a club, or maybe the other thing that's happening is some of these kids in high school are in multiple sports.
Right.
You know, they're trying to do football and basketball and all this stuff and take AP classes. And it's too much.
Right.
And so I just encourage parents and kids to say, what can you back off of?
Yeah.
What is it that you can give up right now so you have a little more time for the schooling, if that's what your priority is?
What about the argument that, you know, it's the sport or it's the orchestra or it's the play that makes me want to show up for school, so please don't take away, you know, the things that I find are fun? That would just be a shifting of priorities then, right? So then you would say, okay, well, is there a class that you can back off of? Is that...
Sure.
Yeah, if the kid is the one who has that priority.
You know, if they've taken some AP classes and struggled...
Right.
It's okay to say, you know, maybe just take less. And like maybe take one this semester versus, you know, two or three and still get those credits, you know. But, and I think what they find is when they get to those, if they were to then get into the regular classroom, it's kind of a relief.
It's
like, 'cause the pace is way different. And there isn't that pressure like, well, if I don't pass this test, I'm not getting college credit, and it's that on top of just the grade for high school.
Yeah, that feels really real to me because I think, in our lives, the math class this year was, pre-calculus. And I swear it must have been the easiest class in the world. And you know it's not easy, but it wasn't an AP class. And so just the nature of it being an AP class and having that test hanging over your head at the end of the year changed the whole dynamic. The material might have been just as challenging, for all I know. I'm not sure. But just saying AP, saying college, you know, acceptance, saying ACT can cause, you know, some anxiety as well. How do you prepare?
I think as parents, we just sort of owe it to our kids to say it's more of a perception than a reality, you know, and try to help our kids do a little reality check on, you know, if I really don't take these three AP classes one semester, I can still get into college.
Right.
I mean, just do a little reality check with our kids and say, you know, that's only one part of the whole picture of why people get accepted by colleges. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the standardized testing. There's just who you are as a person, you know, your interest, are you a good fit? And they may be also looking at, well, going to be looking at grades too. But the AP stuff really is just for you as a kid to get it just some extra credits when you start college, some of those classes you don't have to take.
Right. So what is the parent's job here? When do we know there are, you know, real warning signs where we say it's time to give my student someone else to talk to about this? You know, let's try some counseling. What are the warning signs?
Well, what I hear from kids in here is they really start to push back against their parents with anger. I mean, what you will see is just a shorter fuse when a kid typically hasn't been like that. Just a shorter fuse with their parents, with their siblings maybe, and even at school. And then, you know, I mean, there certainly might be some signs of depression, like having a harder time getting motivated, you know, getting to get to school in the morning because it's hard.
Right.
And not wanting to get out of bed in the morning, you know, and have to face the school day. Sometimes there's a change in eating patterns and sleeping too. Like some kids will just start telling their parents, like, I just can't sleep at night. I can't turn my brain off, you know, from all the stuff that's going on. So those are kind of signs. And I think if a parent gets the inclination that it is starting to interfere either in family life or in their child's life in some way, like sleep, not eating enough, or just being constantly exhausted, then you need to get some help.
Yeah.
You know, sort out what it is, because oftentimes kids won't really confess everything to their parents because they don't want to disappoint them. And so they'll keep pushing anyways. When you get them into a counselor like me, I have no, you know, horse in the race.
Right.
And so I can look at it from the outside and say, wow, that's a lot. You know, I mean, is there something we can do about this right now so that some of the pressure's off and then you still feel like you're meeting some of the expectations of your parents?
Right. Or of your own. Yeah.
Or of your own.
Yeah. We're talking today with Larry Ling. He's with Avera Health. He's a clinical social worker. And we're talking about the perils of pushing too hard. You know, not just pushing, but pushing too hard. And when you know you've sort of gone overboard. We want to hear your comments about this. You can send me an email at inthemoment@sdpb.org. And Larry, I'm wondering if they also look at us and they see, you know, are they seeing in the society and with their parents that their parents are doing? Is this modeled behavior or is this the narrative of high school right now?
I think there's some where it's modeled. You know, I think parents have a hard time saying no to certain things because they feel that they're going to disappoint their kids.
Right.
So early on, instead of saying, hey, why don't you try five sports, you know, you start out with, let's just try a couple, you know, right away. You don't even set the groundwork for more sports. And that way, as they grow up, and if they decide that one of those two is what catches on, then they're likely to just do one sport in high school. They're not going to feel pressured to be part of the baseball team and the football team and the basketball team. And, you know, so it's some modeling of that, and some parents are burning the candle at both ends, working full-time, parenting, you know, and they've got a lot going on. And sometimes the like the families don't hardly even see each other during the day.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a role model that kids can tune into and say, hey, this pace is a little too fast for me, and they'll start showing it through their behavior.
Right.
Like, I'm not happy with this. You know, I would like to see you guys more and like to be home a little bit more.
Right.
Instead of being on the run all the time.
Give me an idea of, you know, do you see success? Do you see kids who have been at sort of the brink and through counseling have been able to really think about what they want their lives to look like, still as high achievers, but also with some reasonable expectations and some healthy choices? Do you see that a lot? You know, is it something that can be overcome with the right assistance and support?
Yes. In the end, what I try to do is create a team effort, and I absolutely consider the parents one of the most important parts of that team. They live with the child. They've raised them. I'm looking at it from the outside. And sometimes when we get down to it and we can get the parents and the child in here at the same time and say, hey, here's some things they haven't told you because they don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah.
You know, but here's the reality of it. And so let's just take this into account as you guys move forward, because if you take some of this pressure off, you're likely to see your child be a little happier.
Right.
And a little more content and not as angry at home.
Yeah.
And some of that pressure is self-caused. I mean, parents will probably say sometimes, well, we didn't do that on purpose. Like, we weren't.
Right, yeah.
Like, we're not, you know, pushing him to take all his AP classes, but he just, you know, goes into high school saying he wants to take them because that's what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
And so, they just kind of go with it. And once they realize how stressed out their child is, they're willing to help look at, okay, how can we do the schedule different or back off of a sport or whatever. So that, and the kids will typically tell you where the pressure points are and what would work.
Interesting stuff. Larry Ling, he's a clinical social worker with Avera Health. I feel like we all got a little free therapy today. So, Larry, thank you so much for being here. Go to Avera Health to find more. You can maybe want to spend some more time talking with Larry. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
And thank you.